Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Screaming in Silence podcast. Hurt me, harm me not. For most of us, severe pain is thankfully a fleeting experience, but for some, like myself, it's a permanent companion. For the past 25 years, everything I've done or experienced has been accompanied by chronic pain. Yet, to the surprise of most, I consider myself one of the luckiest people alive, and I'm thankful for this journey. Through this podcast series, I'll share with you my story and the insights I have gained that have allowed me this perspective. I want to preface this episode by saying if you are in need of physical treatment for your pain, then you must take care of that before applying anything I discuss in this podcast. I'm often asked how I can remain so calm despite living with chronic pain, especially during periods when the intensity is high. Even I surprise myself with my ability to weather the storm during these flare-ups. I'll be in conversation with a friend, watching a movie, waiting in a queue, and my pain level will be off the chart, and I find myself unflinching, the fire within me raging, yet no one would even suspect a thing. Of course, I'm not perfect. There are limits to my abilities, but I can tell you right now that they are higher than most people's. Pain that would have you screaming out or falling to the ground in a wreck will barely register on my face. But it is still there. I'm not immune to it. I just have a way of processing and understanding it that makes me react differently to most. We all know hurt. From physical to emotional, we all have experienced it or acted in a way that has caused someone else to experience it. Hurt and harm are often bedfellows, especially in acute circumstances. Someone who does something physical to hurt you often results in harm being done, and the same can apply with emotional hurt too. But hurt is not a thermometer for harm. Experiencing hurt does not necessarily mean you experience harm. This distinction is important for someone like me, someone with ongoing persistent pain. Understanding this is not always easy to put into practice though. Pain is a necessary part of life. It's a warning system that alerts us to a threat and makes us take action to either remove the threat or seek medical attention. This is vital for our well-being and survival. There is a deep-seated link between hurt and harm that is built into each and every one of us, going back hundreds of thousands of years. Our minds are fine-tuned to this. The default response to pain is to take action. To try to ignore this warning system is counterintuitive, and taking such action can often increase our anxiety and concern over what is causing the pain, driving us further towards taking action. This, of course, is completely natural. If we have a wound, it needs taking care of in case it gets worse. Sometimes, though, there is nothing we can do. For many chronic pain patients, this is the case. But for the chronic pain patient, this urge to do something can be all-consuming. We all know acute injuries well. Cuts, burns, abrasions, even broken limbs. We know that these will heal, often requiring little or no intervention. There is little to no worry about a minor injury. If we burn our finger on a hot surface or break a bone, we know we won't be facing this for the rest of our lives. The anxiety is low. We hurt, we have suffered harm, but that harm will be gone soon enough. It might require a little time off work, some minor rehabilitation, but for the most part, it is just a blip on the radar, here for a moment, then gone. For the person living with ongoing pain, this completely changes things. For many, anxiety levels are heightened, especially if there appears to be nothing that can be done. For some, they don't even get a clear diagnosis of what the cause of their pain may be. Worries about long-term consequences become a battle of their own. There are financial concerns, pressures of keeping on top of bills while facing uncertainty over reduced hours they can work, or even losing employment altogether. Stress is put on relationships, with one person unable to provide as much emotional or financial support as they could before, unable to be as social as they once were. Responsibilities of caring for children, taking them to extracurricular activities, and all the other tasks a parent has become much harder to juggle. And that's if they're lucky to have a partner to help. For single parents, this can be extremely overwhelming. Then there are personal difficulties. For some, mobility becomes an issue. Basic tasks like taking care of ourselves are much tougher. Maintaining regular and healthy dietary requirements becomes secondary to just trying to stay the course and keeping on top of the pain, often resulting in health and weight issues. Unlike someone with an acute injury, one that heals on its own or with minor intervention, the chronic pain patient faces major upheaval to their lives. How does all this tie in with hurt and harm? For me, it's all to do with the quality of life, something I've mentioned many times before. Specifically, in controlling the fight or flight response that is a part of us all to reduce anxiety. Understanding the difference between hurt and harm is critical for how I've been able to manage my pain, to live the life I want, to not have the pain managing me. It is clear that I experience severe levels of hurt, my elbow being crushed in a vice, the skin torn from my arm and my hand, my wrist being crushed by a clamp, my hand being crushed around a hot blade, the sensation of my tricep muscle being torn away from my arm. The list goes on. All of these sensations are very real to me. I can describe them in the way I can because that's how it feels. Just for a moment, pick one of these sensations and imagine how it would impact your life. Imagine trying to keep a smile on your face as you deal with your daily responsibilities while the skin has been torn away from your arm. Listening to your child tell you about their day with a vice crushing your elbow and a spike being pushed up through it at the same time. Or sitting down to enjoy a nice meal while your wrist is being crushed and your hand is wrapped tightly around a hot blade. You might be able to push the pain aside, but you would know all too well that not only are you hurting, but that harm has been done too. Harm that you need to take care of. This response is natural. It's how our brains work to protect us. We experience hurt, we associate harm with that hurt, and we act to fix the issue. I go through all these scenarios and more on a very regular basis, and not just individually either. Listening to one of my children telling me about their day may also involve facing multiple sensations of pain. And my brain is no different to anyone else's. It's also telling me that I'm hurting, that I'm being harmed, and that I need to take action. This is when I need to override the brain's response to pain, to change the basic programming that kicks in when we are faced with a threat, when I need to act counterintuitively to danger signals. And this is definitely a situation where it is much easier to say than do. In fact, so hard is it that many chronic pain patients, where the cause can't be treated, never get to a place where they can employ this way of thinking. That's understandable. Welcoming something like pain is not how we are supposed to react. Going back to how I can describe my pain lies the critical difference for me. There is no vice, no clamp, no hot blade. The skin hasn't been torn from my arm and hand. This knowledge, as obvious as it is to anyone observing me, including myself, is what makes all the difference. While it might seem obvious to you and me, to my brain it is not so obvious. It responds the only way it knows how. To it, real harm is no different than created harm. I have to override this response. This next statement is a controversial one, but nonetheless one that is true. Pain is constructed entirely in the brain. This doesn't mean pain isn't real. What it means is that the feeling we get is created by the mind. When we stub our toe experiences the damage, but it is our brain that interprets the signal that the nerves in the toe have sent and tells us that we've been hurt. A lot of chronic pain patients, in my experience, feel that the statement diminishes their suffering, implying that their pain is made up. This is not the case. Pain, whether from an injury or not, is very real. It also doesn't mean that we can switch pain off when we want, but it does give us some ability to control our response to the signal our brains receive, not only for chronic pain, but also acute pain too. While it is possible to apply the same approach with acute pain, it's generally not something we need to do. With chronic pain that is not causing actual harm, like nerve damage, however, I feel it is very important, at least in my experience, that we do learn how to control our response. Knowing that there is no damage being done despite the pain we experience, that we are not experiencing harm, not only reduces the anxiety and fear we might go through, but it also reduces the physical response our bodies go through. Things like increased heart rate and blood pressure, for example. Remember, our brains can't tell the difference between true hurt and created hurt, and it will respond the same way in each scenario. Long-term consequences of this response will put stress on our bodies, stress that will just compound our challenges. This approach of allowing the sensations in without fear has for me made a huge difference in the way I'm able to function so well with chronic pain. It is what has allowed me to live the life I have and continue to do. I'm the first to admit it isn't easy, but the effort put into retraining our brain to observe pain in a different way is immensely rewarding. Let me give you an example. A few nights ago, while sitting at my computer desk, I had a very severe flare. This was easily 13 out of 10 on my scale. As I've said previously, anything up to 7 out of 10 is a walk in the park. While that is still very high, you'll never see that in my body language. 8 to 10 requires some work to not show the effects of the pain, but I still can cope well with that as I maintain my approach always of not reacting to the sensation, to just observe it silently, welcoming it in. 11 and above, though, is quite often out of my hands. But recently, I've been working on this too, working hard at ensuring I don't react to pain that is crushing and burning me. Believe me, after 26 years of this, if it's above 11, then you can be sure it is very intense. But this night, as it moved into 13, I challenged myself to not react, to just let it be. At this level of pain, you will normally see this in my body language. I employed every skill I have, every lesson I have learned, reassured the subconscious part of my mind that there was no harm being done. The result was euphoric. I felt like I was riding a wave, not a rough wave, but a smooth one that lifted me to new heights. I never fear my pain, but pain around 13 normally is out of my control. Not this time. This time, I was in control. All from conditioning my response to the most extreme type of pain I go through, safe in the knowledge that there was no harm being done. This is powerful stuff. To override the mind in the most extreme of conditions was incredibly rewarding. It gives you a feeling of immense power and control, and it also quickly reduced the length of the flare. Hurt and harm. To most of us, there is very little difference between the two. For the chronic pain patient, however, the difference can be life-changing. Fear of harm can impact our lives so much when there is a continual battle. Fear of movement, fear of more harm, fear of going out, and so much more. If there is actual damage, actual harm happening, then of course that needs addressing. But for many persistent pain patients, this is not the case. There may be a structural reason for your pain, such as there is with mine, but there is no physical harm occurring. Or in many other chronic pain cases, there may be no identifiable cause of the pain. Either way, understanding that while we may be hurting, there in most cases is no physical damage happening. And this understanding, that of hurt versus harm, could potentially open up a new way of living. I know it has for me. Thank you for joining me for this episode. I truly appreciate you taking the time to join me on my journey. Continual pain has been one of the greatest teachers I've had in my life, and I'm very lucky to be able to continue to learn from it and to be able to pass those lessons on. I plan on having a new video out soon, so keep an eye on my website, onewingkiwi.com, or on YouTube by searching The Stoic Rider. Until next time, take care, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.